You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. This is Campus Connection for Tuesday, the 14th of January. It is 2020. I'm still practicing on that date, the new year here. But yes, a new year, and we are halfway through the school year. Everyone's back from their Christmas vacation break and fun over the holidays and back to school. And everyone's weathering the cold weather we're having. Just talking to Erica Klutpainter, superintendent here, about that cold weather. She says everything's still flowing at the schools at the moment.
Yep.
Pipes are not frozen, knock on wood.
Yep, exactly. Everything's looking good. And we had a few little cold spots yesterday when we came back, but some that we were expecting. So, yeah, so kudos to our fabulous Dan Tate for his management and Rance McIntosh and his and just their crew. They... snow removal and ice melt and rock and entryways that are open, and we just really, really always appreciate our crew, especially this time of year. So,
all right. Well, this is Campus Connection, and you're welcome to call in with a question or comment if there's a topic you'd like to hear about that we aren't covering, and our phone number is 772-3808. Also in the studio with us today is School Board President Mara Lutomsky. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about tonight's school board meeting and the first one of the new year, but there's a good agenda to talk about, including let's start with budget revision. Erica, is this a very major rewrite of the spending plan for the current year?
No, actually, it's not a huge, there's not a lot of variance right now, which is kind of a nice place to be as well. It was pretty well thought out, and things are coming in. No huge, as you say, knock on wood with weather and all that, no huge, you know, unknown issues that have come at us. No boilers that have gone down. We haven't had any, you know, huge, you know, any emergency leaves or anything like that. So knocking on wood that that all continues, and we're able to just kind of keep moving forward with that. So Karen Morrison will have a few notes to add tonight, but it's very minimal, and they're mostly just kind of moving some staff things around within special ed and that sort of thing. So pretty minimal,
okay.
Which is good.
And I just want to chime in because I feel almost like I sound like a broken record all the time on the budget, but I think that for the everyday person, it's sometimes hard to understand. When we talk about budget revision out there in Radio Land, that doesn't mean that we are finding unexpected expenses. We are limited by the state on how much we can save, so it's not like we can run a super, super bare-bones budget and save everything that we don't need to spend. The state limits us in that way. So we do need to be precise in where things go, whether it goes into savings or whether we pre-spend something or XYZ. So when you hear us talk about budget revision, it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, what are they spending more money on?
Mm-hmm.
Or why aren't they just saving that money? Or any of those questions. You know, we are limited by state statute in that way.
There are some big unknowns every year, though, and Erica mentioned a few of those. One of them is the, like, heating oil and that kind of thing, how cold a winter it's going to be. The
mm-hmm.
other is student numbers, and that's always a moving target, right?
Yeah.
So,
yep, absolutely.
But you're holding pretty steady on those fronts and other...
We are. We did lose a few students over break, which sometimes happens, and then we've also gained a few, so that also seems to happen. So we're down a little in the high school and up a little in the elementary, and... holding pretty steady overall, and we are of course allowing in our budget to make sure we do account for cold weather and that sort of thing, and so far we're managing to keep things pretty consistent. But I do always appreciate Mara mentioning that just as far as where the focus of our money is, it's the budget is designed to provide the best educational opportunities for our kids, so that we're bound to that, and that is our biggest goal, which of course it should be.
Okay. We'll also be having a little bit of a discussion on school calendar tonight, and this is about this time of year, usually talking about voting on the calendar for next year. Mara, what are your thoughts? Do you like the starting and ending dates that are currently set, the break times for winter break and other vacation that's set in, and or would you like to see some changes?
I don't want to see any drastic changes myself. I know that this is a really preliminary budget just to kind of get our feeling, the board's feedback before it goes to the teachers and gives their feedback regarding what the schedule should look like. I personally, as a family member, enjoyed the in-service day that they had at the tail end of winter break, where my students didn't have to go to school on Monday. And I don't know what the staff feedback for that is, but I would imagine that it's easier to ramp in to coming back this time of year. So I know that that is in the preliminary schedule for next year as well, you know, just having that little extra day. And it provides for our little small town, which, you know, are limited on airplane seats. If you are traveling, it gives you another option for returning.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did have positive feedback from staff as well to be able to have that in-service time and wrap up, for especially for secondary, the semester, and, you know, prepare and kind of roll over for another semester, especially for changing classes. And always the prep work that starts for the beginning of the year for our teachers. So it was very well used and very much appreciated, and nice to come into a four-day week for kids, I think, coming off of a vacation. Sometimes that can be kind of hard to reorient. And then, you know, it was kind of funny. I saw a few kids over break on the weekend out playing in the snow, and they were like, oh, I wish we could have one more day of vacation. And I said, hey, you do. I felt like Santa Claus.
They were lobbying you for an extra snow day or two there?
Yes, they were lobbying. And
didn't even realize that.
I'm like, I am Santa. I'm giving you. Anyway.
We didn't have a snow day. It didn't come to that point here in Petersburg, huh, on that Friday
it
morning.
It did not. Okay. And, yeah, the high school kids were super unhappy with me because the power went out. And, you know, we had, and I do, again, I want to give some shout-outs to DOT and the communication that I always have with them on those days when the snow is coming down, and it's been coming down all night. So always appreciate that. Barry and talking with him, Hoopy, of course, and then just, you know, communicating with Chris Cotta throughout the day as well. And just, they're very helpful, very accommodating. They want to make everything as safe as possible too. So, but yeah, the power went out and the kids were really lobbying hard for that. Early out. So.
If there are more storms coming up and there is the need for a snow day, you have a whole system set up for calling that and getting the word out through the radio station and other means and that kind of thing. And,
yeah, we do. We do.
I know snow days are pretty rare around here. It's probably, I don't know, once or twice a decade or something.
I think in my
time,
yeah, I've been here since 2001, and I think we've had two.
Okay.
And they were both really for almost more of ice issues or just kind of snow removal issues. You know, they just couldn't, I mean, just literally physically can't keep up, that sort of thing. But other than that, we do seem to just keep plowing through. So, yeah, and thanks to our power and light as well for getting the generators ramped up. And much to the kids', you know, dismay, we had power within probably 25, 30 minutes. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving right along through the agenda for tonight, you'll be hearing from the Petersburg-Wrangell Insurance and Susan Erickson. Is this on health insurance, property insurance, what, or is it everything all rolled into?
She usually comes with her hot topic, her hot topic in insurance, you know, what's kind of going around the industry or what they have seen in other school districts or, you know, within their own industry, what they've heard as feedback, so...
Yeah.
She always surprises us.
Yep. She usually comes with one good thing, food for thought or something to consider even within policy sometimes. Or, you know, sometimes there's been things about field trips or, you know, using vehicles and kind of rules and things around those. And so she always has great feedback and guidance for us. And then just, you know, and of course, it's always a good show if you've never heard Susan Erickson. It's a great show.
Hear her on the radio station tonight or come to the meeting yourself.
Perfect.
Erica, you'll also be talking about staff evaluation. What's the latest on that process of state requirement?
Yeah, actually, there's not a lot of change at this point. They do require us to just, you know, provide a kind of an overview each year annually. And if there are any questions that the board has or other people, no substantial changes since really it's been, they did a lot of revamping 2014, 2015, and that's when we moved along to adopting a model that was put out by Charlotte Danielson, which has to do with there's these domains and, you know, with an instructional strategy and the best way to help teachers improve and to help them be able to reflect on their own practice as well. So we are actually pretty darn happy with the system, and there's a technology component to it. It actually runs through the same system that our leave scheduler and our time clock and all that. It kind of goes through, it's called Frontline. Anyway, it's kind of the house for it, and it does work well. It keeps it all in one place, manages it well.
Does it take a lot of time?
It always takes time.
Yeah.
Everything always takes time. And yeah, and there's time, you know, of course, on the teacher's part too, because they're, which is good. There's a component of self-reflection. There's, you know, good questions for, you know, kind of post-conference and follow-up and that sort of thing. So it's a good process, but yep, it takes time, and our principals work hard, you know, to do that. And our teachers too. So no major changes to it, just required to bring it forth.
Okay. New math curriculum. I think the board listened to a presentation Thursday about what this new material is. Mara, any thoughts? Is this a major update?
Well, in the middle school and high school, it doesn't seem to be too many changes. There are, we're buying some replacement books for students that like to use books. We also have an online system that a lot of students have given the teachers feedback that they like to use that system, and I know that they have the option for both. My child uses both. And our high school teacher, I think, is buying some new books to kind of keep going with the curriculum that they have, the big ideas. But there will be a big change in the elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
So they will be switching from what they currently have, which is Go Math, if it's voted on tonight, if it goes through. And they will be switching to a program called Bridges. And it will be a different type of, I don't know about different type of teaching, but a different type of supplement, a different type of supplies for the teachers. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like many of the teachers are already going out and using maybe their own resources to acquire a lot of these materials and do that in their classroom. And buying this curriculum will then be able to provide it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a long date on the amount of time that we have this curriculum with this purchase price.
Yes, it
as
gives
well.
Us
it's
about 6 years, I
six
think.
6 years. Of,
mm-hmm. Okay,
of
so
support.
This is not just books we're talking about for math, or it is just books?
No, it's
no. Okay.
lots of materials. Yeah.
Yeah. Not really books at all.
Okay, mm-hmm. We'd move
so
past books.
So they will be, they'll, I believe, from my understanding of it, they will be moving away from books and the mm-hmm. worksheets as you know them.
Okay.
And they will be much more determined by the teacher, it seems, like what type of worksheet they might be working on.
Mm-hmm.
And that the teacher can print that from the system
mm-hmm.
that they have in place instead of just working out of the workbook and ripping out the sheets.
Yeah.
And I know that there is some... Sounds like they are accommodating for the students who have been doing Go Math all of their elementary career, that if the teacher really wants to keep that in place, they have purchased supplies in the upper levels to keep going with Go Math,
mm-hmm.
if that's what they choose. But from what we were presented with, it sounds like there's a lot of great feedback from the staff, and two of our teachers have been using the system this year, and they have given great feedback surrounding it. So
mm-hmm.
I feel comfortable moving in and trying to go for it.
If
there had been
so.
More resistance among the staff, I think we maybe might need to consider it further. But
yeah, it's well vetted, and the idea being in more of that kind of a spiraling approach to it as mm-hmm. well, keep coming back to concepts, and then sort of more of a game-based approach. And it might not look quite as quite the same as some of the more traditional type programs. And our second grade's been piloting it this year and has provided a lot of good feedback for the other teachers, which I think was very instrumental in helping them see that it could be maybe a little bit more individualized in that way, maybe meet needs in some different ways. And so people, of course, were always supportive of that. And no changes to the standards in the state, so that's always part of that too, is kind of looking at mm-hmm. curriculum is sort of one component of it, but it has to, you know, address the standards that have been laid out by the state, and those standards have not changed. So there's lots of different ways to help kids get to the standards and understand them. So that's the direction we're moving, and some good professional development coming this spring for that.
Okay.
With math, yeah, specifically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, and it's a vote tonight to spend the money to buy those materials. And I think that's something you budgeted for anyway, so this is an unexpected cost.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Special recognition for an elementary school teacher, Dan Sullivan, second teacher to be recognized for music teaching in the district so far this year already, which is great. He was named Director Who Makes a Difference, one of 50 in this magazine called the School Band and Orchestra Magazine. Mm-hmm. You can look at it online. Check it out online. The volumes are all there. And read about Dan and the other educators who were nominated or honored, so honored. So.
Absolutely. And such a passion project for Mr. Sullivan. It's one of those things, you know, he's done a lot of different jobs in our district, and music is sort of part of who he is as a person and an educator, but it's just a really well-deserved acknowledgement of the work that he has put in for many years. And it's, you know, sort of one of those things that people just do. Everybody kind of has their things they pick up and sort of bring to the flavor of the educational experience for our kids. And he's always been just so, I'm going to say instrumental, there it is, in providing that and just encouraging, you know, students to explore that part of, you know, learning. And he's been doing it for a lot of years. So we're super proud of him, as always. It's great. Great acknowledgement of him.
And other staffing issues, you also have a planned resignation by phys ed and swim teacher Dan Van Swearingen, and also planned retirement by Irene Littleton, who's been with the district a long time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First over at the elementary school, and then with you at the office, your mm-hmm. support person. So you'll be filling these positions eventually at some point, or you don't know. You're going to be up for the talk.
As we say every time there's a position that comes open, we always stop and evaluate, and we've done it with every single one, so it's not a reason to panic, you mm-hmm. know, for people, but every position that comes up, we always stop and, you know, relook at it and make sure that we have things crafted exactly as we want, or are there things that we might want to adjust, or, you know, are there ways to find efficiencies in any position that comes forward? And, of course, the swim PE, but mostly swim position is always a very important one in this community. It is also an expensive program, as we know, and we talked a lot about this last year when we were dealing with
possible
reductions and things that were coming from the state. And so lots of information I think we've tried to share with people over the years, not to create, you know, undue panic, but just to share information that about what things cost and the cost that we, you know, contribute to the pool of, like, utilities and all those kinds of things. So there's a long relationship there that, as a community, another one of those conversations, I think, to talk priorities about what that looks like. So, you know, not looking to hack something, not looking to absolutely say for sure it's going to look exactly the same. So I think that's what we have to say about every position that comes forward. And I would say the same in our district office. We look at every opportunity, you know, and are there ways that we can increase efficiencies and put money and emphasis towards providing things for our students. We're always looking for that. So, but we are very sad to see both of them go. And yeah, my whole mm-hmm. time here, I don't know what I'll do with Irene.
She followed you from
That's
the elementary school.
That's a hard one.
Okay. Well, we'll also be hearing from the second grade class of Becky Martin about the brain. It sounds like a video presentation. And Mara, you're going to be talking a little bit about fly-in next month to the state capitol to talk with legislators.
Yep. So we are going to be attending, Erica, myself, and Sarah Holmgren. We'll be attending the school board fly-in. That is kind of the designated time for school boards to come in and kind of lobby the Hill. We have actually been asked to give a presentation to the School Board Association, to other superintendents and board presidents about the Petersburg Superintendent President School Board team and how well we work together as a team. So we are preparing our presentation to give. We are also scheduling meetings with mm-hmm. senators and our representative. We're considering going into the Department of Education to kind of bang some pots up there. And, yeah, we will be there up over the weekend and get a lot of information from our association and then go and share that to the Share that to the voting members.
What do you make of the governor's budget proposal that pretty much puts the burden on the legislature to come up with a solution, otherwise spending down most of the reserves of the state if you don't come up with a solution? Do you anticipate that means there will be another look at education funding and possible reductions, or... Erica, how do you, what do you make of that?
I think Mara and I have talked a lot about this over the last month or so, and I think my impression, and it will be interesting because a lot of things are happening right now. I mean, there were things pre-filed on Friday. I was a part of a little webinar on Thursday about some legislation that's coming forward related to the reading legislation and also early childhood preschool. That could be some pretty significant changes in our state and could have some dollars attached to them, but also just some significant changes. So I think he's playing a different game with this. Last year it was very much, you know, he was coming in with just sort of the axe, and that was the approach he was taking. I think he's coming at it definitely a different way, saying this is the education year, it's all about education, and we're not going to make reductions there. However, we're going to maintain this $3,000 PFD, and it's really up to Alaskans to let us know how to do that and what way we should move forward. So definitely, I think, my opinion, is shifting that back to people, so you can't really continue to have it all, as we know. And then I also just, aside, found it interesting that he canceled the conversation that was supposed to happen this morning, that was supposed to go out to Alaskans.
With Alaskans. Mm-hmm.
So I just found that interesting. Anyway.
There is a pre-file bill for a tribal compacts for a possible education system set up outside of the state. Sure I understand that entirely at the moment, but any thoughts on that at the proposal stage, or have you looked into that? Or
I have. There's a lot of conversation about this, especially up north, where there's so much interaction with tribal organizations and the schools. And I do believe the goal of it is really very good. I mean, I think they're really trying to figure out how to, make the best use of resources all the way around to provide really quality wraparound services for students, and also to try to, really preserve and enhance cultural awareness and education as well. So I do believe there's a lot of potential there. I'm not sure how it will all sort out. I mean, even just listening to some of the things this week and last week, you have a lot of cooks in the kitchen when you try to figure out how to make all that work. And I don't think it's impossible. I just think it can be challenging to figure out, you know, who does what and who's responsible for what, and, you know, how does that all work? And I really do hope that it will. I mean, I think there's a lot of potential there, but I think there's a lot of unknown that I'm not really too sure of either.
It's going to be an interesting year in the state capitol. The specter of the recall campaign possibly going forward, plus it's election year for many legislators. Yeah. So
yes, so that always changes.
So Mara's just shaking her head. You're looking forward to all that, I can tell.
Sure.
Anything else from tonight's school board meeting you want to address that we haven't covered?
I did want to just put out a mention, I think, for people. I know we've mentioned it a couple times, but Nick Hansen, the Alaska Ninja Warrior, will be here next week in our district. He comes in on Sunday. He'll be here Monday, Tuesday, and leaves Wednesday morning. And we have him scheduled to do some activities with all of our kids, K-12, Native Youth Olympics emphasis, and as well as he does some work with students on kind of goal setting and also some suicide awareness. I mean, of course, developmentally appropriate for the age, but he has quite a story from Unalakleet and how he ended up where he is. Mara has also seen him and met him. He's a pretty powerful speaker. He's got a lot of energy. He really, really, really is very connected to helping kids see their potential. Like, that's pretty much his whole goal, and he wants all kids to find their potential. So he's really passionate about that. We will be having a community event. We'll get you more details soon, probably today, actually. We're working on that. We're going to have a community event on Tuesday night. It'll be at 6:30 over in the gym. We're going to have a warp wall for anybody who is a Ninja Warrior fan. We are building one here on Sunday afternoon when Nick gets to town. It's going to be great.
This, from what I know about, this is a wall you run up and see how high you can run up, basically.
Yeah, and he,
it's like what,
I think 14 feet.
Is he going to do?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, and he has some great stories about. I mean, you know, it's not, and I'm just going to say this: it's not just for the kids who are really into, you know, doing athletics and whatever. His whole point is everybody striving for goal, everybody doing, you know, doing their part, everybody believing that they have, you know, something to contribute to a group. He's super passionate about that. So it's I think it'll be a really great opportunity for people to meet him and hear his message. Anybody can come to that. That's Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And then he's doing work with individual classes throughout the day. And then we're going to do a kind of a wrap-up assembly for students on Wednesday morning before he leaves. So we're very excited, and we'll get you more details, but 6:30 Tuesday night in the high school gym, open to anybody who wants to come, Nick Hansen. Mm-hmm. And actually, we're going to offer a little spaghetti dinner with some moose meat before that, around 6 in the cafe, and I think Nick will be there. So if people want to stop by a little early and have some spaghetti and meet him, we're planning to do that as well.
Very cool.
Yeah, I would strongly recommend if you're at all interested in hearing his story or just hearing about an Alaskan who kind of, you know, against all odds, has kind of gotten out and has become this really public figure, a positive public figure.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to us at the school board annual conference 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was great. He isn't just for kids, so for adults, I would strongly recommend bringing your family, or if you're a single adult that doesn't have a child in the school district, come and yeah. Listen to him as well. You know, he has a great story and a great speaking personality, very personable and enjoyable to listen to.
Yeah, he's overcome a lot, and he's also very, very connected to his community in Unalakleet and spends most of his year there when he's not out doing all these other things. So he's, you know, he's very much Alaskan, very much committed to, you know, his state and very proud of that. So he's awesome.
All right, very cool. Next Tuesday. Sounds good. Mara, anything else we missed? Covered pretty well.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think that we're, you know, just trucking along. We'll see what the rest of the month brings, the rest of the next 90 days or 120 days. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. You can hear the school board meeting in its entirety tonight, 6 p.m. in the Middle and High School Library. Coming up next, Street Beat Music with Ross Nanook III.